Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us today. Got a big show, lots of things coming up. Got Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News.
He's way cooler than us, right?
Yeah, way cooler. He called me and said, what are you doing? I want you on my show. And I said, well, I'll go to your show if you do mine.
Gotcha.
So worked out great. Kind of some odd news coming out of Wisconsin. We're talking about deer and populations. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Hang tight. We're Valley Outdoors right after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. How's it going, Ava?
It's going good. It's a little empty in here this week.
It's dawnless. It's dawnless once again. We're virtually going to fly through this show like a hot knife through butter.
Yep. It's just going to
slide. Just
people aren't even going to know what hit them.
As I go, she gone. That's how that rolls. Speaking of she gone, this is, I don't know. A lot of, depending on what week you want to pick, we got the winter, she gone, and now I'm looking at the forecast. Spring, she gone, we're back to winter. I mean, you're looking at what the forecast is, and
I don't even know what's happening anymore. I'm just along for the ride.
Pretty crazy. We had some rain earlier midweek, and like 900-mile-an-hour winds and everything else.
I must have missed the rain, because all of a sudden it was wet. Yeah. Outside. Did it last long?
It rained overnight, pretty much everywhere in the Twin City area, at least. Big band of showers came through. And
Just like I walked outside one day and it was wet.
Well, I'll tell
what happened.
So, and this is a crazy thing. So if we thought the ice was bad, get a 55-degree rain on top of it.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
And then get wind, which makes it even worse, because it's going to create much more chance for the evaporation aspect of it. So,
you know, I feel bad for all the ice fishing contests. They're still happening.
Some are.
Well, on dry land, there's just no fishing. So people can, people can come out and have breakfast and still raise money for the good causes that, even though you're not fishing, you can still have a good time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
they canceled the Maple Lake Ice Fishing Derby. That's gone.
Oh. Canceled. They're still having it in Lake City.
On
dry land.
Yeah. Pepin's open, isn't it? You drive by it, don't you? Is Pepin open right now?
No.
No, you don't drive by it?
It's frozen.
Okay. And here's the crazy part. So Pepin was open on the 11th. It was wide open. I just pulled the story up. It was open at 11 on the 11th, right?
Of January. Okay, I was going to say,
January 11th.
We haven't even gotten to the 11th yet.
And then we had that cold snap, and then it froze over.
Yeah.
And now we're going.
It's probably not going to last.
No.
But right now it's frozen, yeah.
Which, with the wind and everything else, who knows what's going to do.
I'm only at like the mouth of it, so I don't know, like down by Wabasha and stuff.
No, down there.
You know what I mean?
I'm just talking about at the lake in Pepin, where it's kind of like the
where all the boats are.
Where all the would be, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I mean, everybody spring fishing generally is upriver. It's unheard of to have anything down this nape of the woods, neck of the way, down to Pepin, the lake side of it. So
no, I just saw motorcycles. Motorcycles were out on the road.
Yeah, and that's going to be a rude awakening coming this week. Overnights are back to 15, and you know how that goes. Yikes. But So, yeah, kind of a mixed bag, as they say.
It is.
You never know what you're going to get, like a box of chocolates,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. Speaking of box of chocolates, Wisconsin's had a lot of controversy going on with deer hunt, as well as baiting deer. Baiting deer has been out because
it's just not a good idea.
The CWD,
yeah.
right? It's just, it's been a law. You can't do it. And of course, last week we had the story about the person that put the rodent killer next to the bait pile so that it would.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
You can't fix stupid. It's gotten to the point where, listen to this story. There's a bill attempting to address Wisconsin's dwindling deer population. A group of lawmakers introduced a bill that would prohibit hunters from killing antlerless deer in northern Minnesota for several years in an attempt to preserve does and regrow the region's herd. Hunters in the state's northern forest hunting zone have complained for years the number of deer roaming the landscape has been dwindling. The zone includes roughly a third of the north part of the state, which is, that's a chunk.
Mm-hmm.
Hunters in that particular area across the zone killed 14.7% fewer bucks in that particular year in the 9-day gun season compared to the 5-year average. The doe harvest in that zone was down 27%. That's a healthy number to be down. Normally, it's not an issue. And again, that's the 5-year average. A lot of people in the DNR have blamed harsh 2023 winter for the reduced numbers because it was a lot of snow, and that does cause some big problems. They're looking at having the bill that would be prohibiting killing antlerless deer in the northern zone for 4 years, preserve as many does as possible, hope they'll reproduce, bolster the region's population, and give hunters more opportunities in the future. We want future generations to enjoy the traditions of hunting in northern Wisconsin. This bill is a good start to make that happen. What I find is how you can have such a volatile season and say that that's what caused it. And I'm curious if it was that devastating a winter that it killed off that many deer that they need to do this. In other words, and again, I'm not trying to be skeptical, but I'm going to throw it out there. Is it management practices that are at question, or is it truly a weather related,
yeah, and habitat too. I mean,
yeah, but up there it
doesn't necessarily change
there,
all the time,
not,
but it's
no,
still.
and that's the thing that didn't change overnight up there too. So that's kind of the question that comes to mind, as in lakes that have mismanagement or a lack of appropriate management for the population and the habitat that they have. So, you know, you never really know what is next. So, well. We can all guess at it, right?
Right. I mean, I don't have
there's
words.
There's no crystal ball. But one of the things that's key here is there's a lot of science that goes behind this, and there's absolutely no reason why more science hasn't come out to this and created a different story for these guys. So tell you what, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Rob Driesline, cool stories, and more right after this. Welcome back, everybody. As we always like to have you do, is check us out on Facebook and where else, Ava?
We should have Rob answer that.
Oh, no.
It's thevalleyoutdoors.com. Come on.
That is correct. I was trying to throw you off by a little bit of a delay there.
Got to give Rob a hard time.
The draw play.
Yeah.
I can't give Rob a hard time. He called me up and was like, hey, what's going on down in Red Wing? And I was happy to answer. May, if he needs me, I may be on the show, his show on Sunday. So.
Well, our listeners here in Red Wing get a lot of Rob
which
on
is good.
Saturday. Yes.
Yeah. No complaints about that.
You really can't have too much Rob.
No, you can't. Wait.
See, now you.
Weekend Rob.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, no, I called Eric for a radio guest, and before I knew it, I was getting –
I get right, wrangled him in for 8 minutes on our show.
Wonderful.
Exactly. Isn't it great? Exactly. I gotta love it. You know, and the funny part about this whole thing, Rob, is, you know, you and I were chatting about what's going on with the river, because we've had such a literally a pendulum swing from open water, nothing in sight, to they're shutting the reactors down. Everybody thought they were going to get by with the Prairie Island plant nuclear reactors they were shutting down, and usually them having them open keeps the channel open so people can fish year-round in Red Wing and have just amazing luck and launch out of Everett's Resort. However, they had both power generators, the generating plants, were down for service, whatever they were doing with it. And, of course, that changed the temp. And the indication from the power guys was that, well, it really only changes the water temperature half a degree. I beg to differ, but it's neither here nor there. That river had almost 10 inches of ice on it, which hasn't happened in 20 years. And, of course, everybody was kind of curious, you know, you and me, and, of course, this statewide, everybody wants to go someplace where it's, hey, let's put the boat in the water. And, you know, we had Pepin open all the way till the 11th of January.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, pretty crazy when it comes down to it, Rob, but, you know, we'll...
Yeah. And, you know, there's some inland lakes that the DNR, some fisheries folks like in the Waterville area were telling me it's not out of the realm of possibility. They could be open before the inland waters walleye season closes February 25th. Now, I mean, that's unprecedented. Now, we'll see if that actually happens.
It's going to be, I will say it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. Now, I know coming up next week, you've got some, we got some colder overnights, so it's going to be back to some balanced freeze and thaw. You know, it's so, who knows? Mother Nature is none too shy for throwing us curveballs. That's for sure.
No, and, you know, another element that I wrote about in my column is the amount of maple syrup tapping that's going on, the trees that are already being tapped.
Is that not crazy?
Yeah, it's totally bizarre. I mean, and it's not just in southern Minnesota. I was talking to folks all the way up to Lake Mille Lacs who were tapping maple trees and getting a lot of sap this past week. You know, that's, again, like, it's like three, 4 weeks earlier than all these folks told me their previous records.
That's
never
crazy.
Seen it before.
Well, you're not going to have to worry about predicting cars through the ice. You know, that usual fundraiser deal.
Yeah. Yeah,
everybody lost right away.
Yeah, folks got the message on that one. Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah.
The only way they can get it out there now is to launch it out there with a catapult or something and see how long it stays on surface. Well, so normally for maple syrup, what is the actual time frame when people start actually going out? I mean, is it? I mean, I'd say
late February and March is probably prime time. I mean, I've done it myself. I mean, there's been years when I've been tapping into April. But, I mean, you know, there were people tapping in January. I mean, I talked to guys that were doing it, you know, January 29th, January 30th, that time frame. I mean, it's just, like I say, unprecedented is the word I've been using.
I wonder what that effect is going to have on the seasonality of a lot of the growth, tree growth, all that aspect is going to be very, very unique. Well, then it also comes in, Rob, comes into what's going to happen with the spawn. It usually happens at daylight. It's, you know, that's a big factor. But when everything else is going on.
If the ice is off, yeah, absolutely. You know, you throw the effects of the drought, the multi-year drought we've got cooking on top of the trees and the lakes and the early ice out, potentially, it's all pretty bizarre.
And it's and it's been one of those years where it's an up and down. We've had extreme cold, and everybody's excited to go out.
Yeah.
Then they go out, then they get stranded, then they got to get rescued. Yeah. Then it's okay. Then it's going to be okay. Got to be careful. I mean, it's like I think we've had three early ice seasons for these fishing guys to throw themselves into harm's way, and they did a great job of it in a lot of cases. You know, I don't. Strange to me. I don't quite understand it. But speaking of strange stories, Rob, you and I chat a little bit about one of those strange stories. Some people just don't, they got too much time on their hands. And when it comes to it was a legislature, right? Was it a legislator or senator?
Yeah,
Florida.
Down in Florida. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, we got some legislator who's insisting that they need to pass a bill to loosen regulations on the killing of wildlife so that people can defend themselves against what he refers to as crack bears. This is the Guardian reporting this, but that apparently, you know, he's suggesting there's all sorts of bears running around on crack, out of control, and people need to be able to defend themselves against these bears. And where do you start, man? Like you say, some of these legislators got too much time on their hands. I mean, there's all sorts of means to take care of problem wildlife. They got a hunting season down there, too. You got that on one extreme. Then out in Colorado, you got them trying to pass ballot initiatives to ban mountain lion hunting. When, you know, the mountain lion population out there is doing great. It's just, to your point, I really wish the extremes could just get together and work on real problems.
Well, I know the current administration's also looking at putting a ban on wolf hunting as well. And you've got a mixed camp
state?
On that.
You talking Minnesota here?
No, nationally. I just saw that. I was reading that on one of the news outlets, and I thought that was kind of like, that's interesting. So follow it. Go ahead.
Well, the feds this past week say that they are developing a national wolf plan that they're going to be working on by the end of the year. They also did say that they were not going to eliminate any of the hunts or implement new protections out west. You know, there's a fair amount of wolf hunting in the west. So, in terms of where we've been with wolf management on the federal level, it actually seems we're making some baby steps, which is, believe it or not, something
unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I was going to be talking to one of friends of the show, Tom Nelson, out in ESPN Radio, out in Everett, Washington area. We'll get him on in a week or so here, but. There's a big controversy going on out west with the introduction of grizzly bear into an area that has not had grizzlies for a long time. And obviously towns have grown up in these areas where they had previously not been, and they're wanting to introduce grizzlies in a national program. And there's some pretty significant issues going on with that out there. And
I had not heard about any, introducing them. Now, certainly, the grizzly population in the Northern Rockies is doing pretty well, and it's growing and it's expanding, and they're seeing grizzlies in new places.
This was a new introduction, and I will get you the scoop on it, but the guys were actually on Jesse Waters on Fox, the two friends of mine. They're directly associated with what's going on that front. And it was shocking when I started looking at the story. And pretty crazy as far as that goes. I was very surprised. It was going to be an introduction in that Washington area, in an area where there has not been much population of the grizzly at all. So
I mean, you don't have to get too far north. I mean, there's a lot of grizzlies in BC, probably, that sometimes make their way down into Washington. I can't imagine that. This must be some bizarre proposal to introduce them. I can't imagine that.
That's what they were all thinking, because it's a heavy recreational area, and that's the controversy. And I spent quite a bit of time out there in a boat with those guys, and we went pretty in-depth on it, and I wanted to get them to have a little conversation on it, so we're going to be doing that pretty quick. What else you got, Rob? What else is coming up in the big stuff?
Well, you know, we should point out that backcountry hunters and anglers, their annual national rendezvous is coming up in April. And for the first time ever, it's not going to be in the Intermountain West. It's going to be here in Minnesota, April 18th to 20th. We broke that at Outdoor News, that story late last summer, early last fall. And they said it was going to be for the first time ever east of the Mississippi River, and the Minnesota State Fairgrounds was going to host it. Well, we found out last week Minnesota's still going to host it, but not the fairgrounds. It's going to be east. It's going to be west of the Mississippi River now, at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Same date, April 18th to 20th. Great organization that I've promoted a lot, and I've been to their national rendezvous out in Missoula a couple times. good bunch of guys, and it's great that it's going to be here, but I just want everybody to know it's going to be at the convention center, not the state fairground.
That's kind of cool. It looks, yeah. I think it would be a bigger venue, I think, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
Yep. That's kind of cool.
Yep. And it's just to be clear, the reason it's leaving the fairgrounds is because apparently the fairgrounds does not want events there anymore with knives or firearms. And so the BHA decided that's not compatible. And I'm not sure what happened there. I mean, I thought for many years the fairgrounds hosted, you know, a lot. Well, the Deer and Turkey Classic. Right?
Exactly right. There. Yep.
That's at Canterbury now. But there have been other events. I think there have been like firearms, you know, trading deals sort of thing.
Yep, absolutely.
But something changed there, I guess, at the fairgrounds. So.
Well, there's a big event coming up, too, at Theodoreworth Park. It's the Stifel Loppet Cup. And it is World Cup cross country event that has not been held in ever in Minnesota, at least not in recent history. And Jesse Diggins is going to be involved with it, of course, all the World Cup people. So it's going to be the 17th, 18th, and 19th. So pretty
next
doggone.
Weekend, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm super excited for it. I got the press pass all ready to rock and roll, and I think I'm going to wander down there and see what I can. Who I can talk to and what I can find out, but pretty cool event.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Even with the low snow scenario, I believe they're going to have some guns out there blazing away next week with the cold temperatures and try and get some get some ground laid for that one. But fun.
I know they made snow in advance for that. They had a pretty good track. I think just rain this past week didn't help. But yeah, if it gets cold, maybe they can make some new snow and get
that.
Yeah,
it should be good. Well, Rob, that's a wrap. You got anything else for us?
Oh wow! I think that's about it.
There is a lot going on, but it's tough to select because you've got a ton of different stories going on. Again, Rob Driesline with the Outdoor News. Be sure to check that out. Get a subscription because you can get the online digital version. I've got one myself. It's fantastic, and feel free to check that out, Rob. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks. Yeah. Outdoornews.com. Take care, Eric.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. And we're gonna be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
That was always kind of fun to have Rob on.
He's such a chill guy.
He's totally laid back.
I wish I was that chill.
You're not?
No. No.
Okay, so here's the best part about this. On air, you're just total chill. And then, of course, right up to getting on the air, you're running 400 miles an hour.
Always.
Like, what?
I always have such a stacked schedule, if you know what I mean. Go, go, go all the time.
Trust me. I mean, you know my situation.
Snippity snap.
Right up to showtime. It's like, all right, prepping stories and getting that ready, and then I got to go back and leave, get to this. I'm going to go check out what the story is in the lake right now. I'm going to see if there's any visible open water when I get done with the show.
I don't think so, but it might. It might.
Oh, you're hedging your bet, aren't you?
With the wind, I'm not so sure anymore. I'm just not positive. I didn't look.
That's what it is. I didn't look.
I didn't look.
Well, a cool story that we always like to hit on at this time of year is the Minnesota Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame has the class of 2024 they've announced. And there's some pretty big names that some of you should know. I would say. First on the list, not by any particular order, is Scott Bonema. Scott Bonema's had a degree in non-destructive testing from Hutchinson College. He went on to California where he caught on to fishing, and he started competing with bass fishing for a number of years, many, many years. Came back to Minnesota in 1989. He's been involved with the Dick Hiley's St. Jude Bass Classic, and they have raised a ton of money in 25 years, over $5.8 million for Children's Research Hospital. And he's part of the Mille Lacs Monmouth Alliance, as well as several other high-end bass tournaments that have sprouted up in the last couple of years. Tom Zinenko, big one there. He's started to go with the Sportsman's Journal, shown in 43 markets in the 80s. A lot of videos and educational videos from him. Authored 4 books and has done a ton of seminars. He also helped sell products at Vexilar, if you're familiar with the Flasher. That's a big deal. Matt Straw, he's a communicator. He's worked for In Fisherman magazine. Nancy Kep, friend of mine, had talked to her many, many times at tournaments. If you're familiar with Marv Kep as a relation at the bait, etc. Fishing for Life, founded by Tom Goodrich, coming up. He's got that. Ice Team, they're also on that. And Wayzata Bait and Tackle. They also made the Minnesota Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame inductees. They're 2024.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, kind of cool stuff.
Congratulations to those.
Yeah.
Well-deserving people. When are you going to get on the ballot?
Oh, I'm ballot free, I think.
Come on, Eric.
You know.
Would you contribute more, please?
I don't
get on the ballot. Do whatever it takes.
I got nothing. I got nothing. Hey, but what I do have is the fact that you guys joined us. We can't thank you enough for that. I appreciate that. For Don, Ava, and myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors. Thanks for joining us. Join us next week. It'll be fantastic, I guarantee it. See you. Have a great weekend.